Hi, everybody. I'm Jackson Murphy with the LCJ Q&A, and joining me to talk about Nickelodeon's new holiday special, Albert, premiering this Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, are Chris Viscardi, Nickelodeon's Senior VP of Content Development, and David J. Steinberg, the Senior VP of Production for Nickelodeon Animation. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Our pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thank you for using my middle initial.
Oh, you're welcome. It is on IMDb, so I feel like I have to use it.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Good, good. You're welcome. First of all, happy holidays. And I have to say, you have already made my holiday season very bright because Albert is a lot of fun. It really is.
I think you just made our holiday season bright by saying that.
Oh, wonderful. Good, good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I got to ask you, what inspired you guys and everybody at Nickelodeon Studios to get into the very competitive holiday specials game, especially with an original concept?
Well, as often at Nickelodeon, we start with the story and what the creative idea is. And we had meaning David and myself and my executive producer partner, Will McRobb, we had heard the story by Will and Aaron Eisenberg, the writers of the movie, the original writers of the movie. They had this great idea about wanting to do a Christmas story about this little tree that wanted to be a bigger tree, and in fact he wanted to be the biggest, most famous Christmas tree in all the world. So it was a very unlikely Nickelodeon story. There's a real underdog element to it. There's a real sweet, sentimental holiday element to it. Mm. And there's also a great kind of journey that he goes on, both, you know, as a character, but also a physical journey that he has to go on to try to make this dream come true. So once we had heard that pitch from the guys, and it was a very, very simple pitch, we fell in love with it, and then we presented it to the folks at Nickelodeon who make the decision to greenlight things, and they fell in love with it as well. And very, very quickly, we were off and running with our very first animated made-for-TV movie.
That's fantastic. And how long overall was the process from concept to seeing it on TV on Friday night?
I think it was like 2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 years ago we first heard the pitch and began that process and then went through rounds of the script.
And a very good friend of ours, Joe Stillman, who wrote the first two Shrek movies, the Beavis and Butthead movies, a bunch of other things for Nickelodeon as well, he came on board and did a great pass of the script. And once we had that version of it, we were really ready to jump into the animation. So, you know, that process takes a little while, but once we got through that, we hit the ground running with our amazing CG animation.
Mm, yeah, and those animation scenes, I mean, the action scenes, the conveyor belt sequence especially seemed like that must have been one of the more challenging sequences to put together. Would you guys say that?
Absolutely. When you write, coming from the writer standpoint, when you write those kind of sequences, you always hope that it's going to turn out the way that it is in your head, if not better. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times, for me at least, from the creative side, that when animated, it was way better and more dramatic and interesting and cool and funny and heartbreaking and kind of scary at times, way more than we had ever thought it was going to be in the script. So it was a real testament to not only the overall crew that we had, but to the vision of our director, Max Lang, who was really wonderful in so many aspects of the movie, but mostly, again, from the story side, bringing it to life character-wise and bringing these set pieces that you wouldn't expect to see played at that certain level, played really, really beautifully and profoundly throughout the movie. Max did just an amazing job. We can't say enough about the work that he did on the film to bring it to life.
I think you mean the Emmy-nominated Max Lang.
Yes.
Oscar-nominated.
Ruman and Broom and Buffalo.
Yeah.
So we were really honored to have him on board at the very beginning of our production process. But he's been a real godsend in a lot of ways to really bring this to life.
Yeah. We've had an amazing, amazing team working on this project, and I'm glad you recognize that the shots you're talking about, there was a lot of production value and a lot of complexity that we were able to achieve on this film, with a fairly small crew and a very tight timeline as compared to certainly features that are being done theatrically. And I'm so proud of what the group was able to achieve.
Yeah, we set the bar pretty high for ourselves. Many of us, of course, grew up with certain holiday specials that have a stop motion look to it,
right.
And all the Rankin Bass stuff that we all loved when we were younger. And when we went into this special, we knew that we had obviously a Christmas story on our hands, and we knew we wanted it to be epic in all the ways that we've discussed. But in terms of how we wanted it to look, we knew we wanted to do more than 2D. So we explored CG, we explored stop motion for a while, and then in discussing it all with David and his team and Max Lang, the informing idea behind the visual approach was to use CG in a way that looks as much as possible like it's stop motion. Not in terms of the way that the characters move, but more of that very kind of tactile way that the world looks. And some of my favorite parts of the movie are those moments where you can see all the grain in the wood, or the grain in the bark of a tree, or in the cactus scars. It's really, really beautiful, and it takes a lot of effort and vision to bring that stuff to life, but we had an amazing crew that was able to do that, and I think at the end of the day, we really achieved what we set out to, which is to make a CG movie that has a real stop-motion animation quality to it.
Yeah, I liked the scene with the bunnies. I have to ask you, because I was trying to count, how many bunnies are there in that scene?
I don't know. There's got to be a couple dozen. It's funny you mentioned the bunnies, because whenever I look at that sequence, what I always focus on is, going back to what I was just talking about, that tactile feeling, the fur on the bunnies' faces. Like, I so want to just reach through the screen and, like, rub those little noses, you know?
They're so adorable.
That's what I think about when I watch that scene. I probably should be thinking about how many bunnies there are, but I think about wanting to just touch their little noses. So, again, it's a testament to the crew and Max Lang that we were able to pull off that kind of visual style and execution, and at the same time to do all that while maintaining the heart that the movie has. It was something we're really proud of.
Yeah, and this is a friendship story and a road picture. You've got Bobby Moynihan and Zashir Zameida from SNL leading the voice cast, along with Rob Riggle. Were all three on your wish list for the voice cast?
Yeah, and I would throw in there Judah Friedlander, who plays Gene the Weed, and also Tom Kenny, who's famous around Nickelodeon for SpongeBob, and other actors like John DiMaggio, and many others that have been a part of the world of voices here at Nickelodeon for a long time. So we knew that we wanted to work with all of those guys in some way, and part of the fun of this sort of project is that you have a wish list in your head of the people you want to work with, and we had the great fortune of being able to get the people that we had on our wish list. So all the ones that you mentioned were people that we had in mind, actors that we had in mind when we started crafting the characters. And thanks to the great work of our casting crew here, Gene Vassileros and everyone at Nick on the talent side, we were able to get the talent that we wanted, which is, I think, really adds so much to the story.
And you guys talked about the classic holiday specials you watched when you were younger and the ones that are still on that I've watched for a long time, and a lot of them have classic songs, and I really believe that The Best Thing About Christmas Is Me is going to go right up there. Yes, with really fun songs. Tell me about a little bit about the process of creating that song, and I really want the lyrics, because the lyrics are fun.
Thank you. Chris,
will you perform it?
I will perform
live
it for you.
I will.
We work with Michelle Lewis, who is the composer and the lyricist, and she was just amazing. And again, it was a situation where we knew what we wanted to do. We didn't know exactly how to achieve it. Michelle came on board and brought her creativity and her expertise to it. And like I was talking about earlier, when some of those action sequences, same thing with the songs. The songs started coming in, and they were way more than we ever thought we would have. So we're glad you like that song. There's the other one in the song, too. In the movie too, and we think that they both have the potential to be holiday classics. So glad you like them. Yeah, they're very catchy. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And you both have backgrounds in making films about heroes. David, you were a part of Tarzan, and Chris, you were a part of The Tale of Despero. And I love both of those films. Tarzan, especially, was the first movie I ever saw at a drive-in, and I was a year old. And Tarzan was the very first film, so that's a cool thing for me.
So you're making me feel old.
Oh, man. What role did those movies have in you guys wanting to make this a hero's journey of a story, your background in those films coming into this?
As we approached, as Nickelodeon, we hadn't made original made-for-TV animated movies before. We had made many live-action movies, which had played very well for the network. And this was a big deal to make, to make a first foray into this medium. And I think we wanted a great story. We didn't just want to make something. We wanted to make something compelling. And that's where, when Chris and his partner Will sort of happened upon that, this story about this little hero tree, there was something about that I think in its simple hero narrative, it did really just resonate because it felt like a classic, like a character that's got a clear I want, and something that we could play out, with a great journey, but in a fresh way. Because personally, I've never seen a story about a tree going cross country before. So I think it did tap into all of those great stories that we've either been lucky enough to be part of or have seen over the years, and that's what made it compelling.
Yeah, and for me, it's less of being drawn to the hero story as much as it is drawn to the kid story, and that's what really makes it a Nickelodeon story. There's a real kid perspective in the movie with regards to, there's a real innocence to the way that he sees himself and a certain naivete to the way he sees himself and the world, and there's a lot about the world that he doesn't know about that he certainly finds out about as he heads off on his journey. But also there's a very real element to the story where he feels like a shrimp. He feels too small. He feels like he's not important enough or that he's going to be taken seriously. I mean, that's not where he starts. He thinks at the beginning that he can achieve that, but at his lowest moments, he just feels like a runt, like a shrimp. And a kid feels oftentimes that way, that they just feel that they're not big enough or cool enough or whatever, however you define it. So that's what made it a real kid story, which therefore made it a real Nickelodeon story. So that's what drew us to the storytelling when we first heard it, that we knew it could be a great story for Nickelodeon.
And I also do want to mention, kids are going to love this, but also millennials, adults, grandparents, people gathering around, because there's a great amount of sharp humor and a little bit of edgy humor to it as well that I appreciated and I think really, really makes it cool to watch.
Yeah, I think when you, just to go back to your, acknowledgement of the cast, when you have Bobby Moynihan and Sasheer Zamata from Saturday Night Live and Rob Riggle, who was also on Saturday Night Live, and Judah Friedlander and Tom Kenny, Sherry O'Terry, these are people who are known for very sharp, smart comedy, and we knew we wanted that in and of ourselves as storytellers, but we knew that those actors would be able to deliver that as well. So we're really big here at Nickelodeon at telling stories that work on two levels, that work on a level for kids, but also play on a second level for adults. It's not specifically made for adults, but we want parents and families to sit down together and watch something like this. And in order to succeed at that, you need it to play on two levels. So the parents and adults watching will get a kick out of it enough to probably want to watch it every year when we bring it out around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's great. And so I got to ask you guys now, what are some of your memories you have of holiday trees or any wacky decorations that you've had over the years?
I don't know if I had wacky decorations, but I grew up in upstate New York, where outside of Syracuse, and there was a ton of snow. So, I'm familiar with the world of Christmas season and snow, probably more snow than any human being would ever probably need or want.
Yeah, I'm in Albany. I'm in Albany, so not that far away.
So, when that wind blows and the cold comes in, there's nothing better in the holiday times. I don't know. I think my memories of Christmas are those classic ones about being a kid and waking up really early in the morning before your parents want to get up, and just bolting downstairs and seeing what's under the tree and just like acting like a selfish maniac as you just rip paper off of things. And then playing with all that stuff. I don't know. Those are just like quintessential, very probably American kind of a vision of Christmas. And then all the warmth and stuff and the family feeling and the togetherness, all those things that, you know, sometimes we look at as kind of cliches of the holiday, but they're very true. And I think we captured them in this story in our own Nickelodeon way.
Mm-hmm. Being Jewish, I will say that I had the best of everything because we didn't have to work on like putting up our own tree, but we would always pile in the car the week of Christmas and go drive around and look at everybody's lights and decorations and trees in the window, and we enjoyed it in our own special way.
And I think that's also, you know, to go back to what we were talking about earlier about wanting to make a Christmas movie. Like, I have very fond memories of being a kid and, you know, sitting in front of the TV and watching, be it Rudolph or Frosty or, you know, whatever those holidays, but Charlie Brown, of course, watching all of that stuff back in the day.
Me too.
Yeah, we all did. And then, you know, years later, you find yourself at a place like Nickelodeon that wants to make a holiday movie. You realize you're playing on a turf that is, you know, that many other people have played on it before and succeeded at such high levels. The bar is very high, so we set the bar high for us here on the production, not only to tell the story, but to show that story in ways that felt really fresh, but also that would feel timeless, so that hopefully 10, 20 years from now, people are still talking about Albert the way they talk about Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. Although Albert, I think, is a kind of Christmas tree that people would want to have in their house. Maybe Charlie Brown's not so much. We're really excited about what we made, and we feel like it can be an evergreen. That's a pun intended.
Oh, good. That's a good quote that I will be using for sure. Chris and David, thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays to you guys. Albert premieres this Friday, December 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Nickelodeon, and it airs again over its premiere weekend on Saturday night at 8:30, and you can watch it again Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. That is on Nickelodeon. I'm Jackson Murphy with the LCJ Q&A.